Let us open our worship service with a word of prayer. Barbara?
Well, good morning, everyone. It is great to see so many people here. This is such a special day, so let's bow and give thanks to our Father in heaven. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this morning for all of the many blessings that you have given to us. But today especially, we give thanks for all the men in our lives, our fathers, our sons, our grandchildren, all of these people, aunts, uncles, who have blessed us in many ways. We thank you for giving them the way to be a father to all of us. We pray for all of the people on our prayer list. There are still continuing needs, and we know that you're aware and you will be with them and put your arms around them. Speak through Bruce to us today, and let us take a message home that will fill us with your loving spirit. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, I need your help. Okay. Snappers, we have any snappers?
Wake everybody up this morning, right? Well, once again, welcome on this Father's Day. It's always great to have people here, and we have little folks here today, which is great for this church. We don't always see people of that age. I'd like to start with this small or short poem that I found that I think is very appropriate for today. It's called My Earthly Dad. With these three words, Dear Heavenly Father, I begin every prayer. I see the man, but the man that I see when I'm on bended knee is always my earthly dad. He is the image of the Father divine, reflecting the nature of God, for his love and his care and the faith that he shared pointed me to my Father above. So I thought that was great for a Father's Day, and now let's join. We should be able to make this room really rattle as we're singing our first hymn this morning, especially since it's God of our fathers.
Splendor through the skies.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, you all need to sit up here so you can hear it. Y'all just stand right in here in this area. It was wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Well, before we get going, are there any new visitors here today? Yes, yes. And the girls? Come on, stand up. Here we go. Okay. And where are you three from?
Malibu.
Four? Malibu. And who are you? Maxine. Uh-huh. And who do you belong to? I mean, who's the other person you belong to? Grandpa, yeah. And who are you, my dear? Annika. Julia, well, thank you for coming. Julia, thank you for coming. We love it when little... Did I say it wrong again?
Juliet.
Thank you. So, are there any birthdays and anniversaries? And I know there's an anniversary because they... 59 years for these guys right here. Are there any birthdays? And I know. Awesome. Really great. Are there any birthdays and other anniversaries? This is 2 weeks in a row. Wow, that's pretty amazing. They're shy. Yeah, well, you know, they can't be shy around me. So they can't be shy anymore. You've been. Yeah,
yeah. It's my mom and dad's 21st anniversary next week.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yay. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Yay. Okay, great. Okay, just to get moving here, our golf tournament, don't forget, if you would like to sign up and sponsor a child or sponsor a hole, the sign-up sheets are on the outside. And we really, really thank you so much for doing this. Those who are new, we have a golf tournament every year that we sponsor, the Inner City Church. That's one of our missions for New Life in Christ. We keep about 150 children off of the streets, off of Colfax, into this free summer camp. And our funds, what we make from the golf tournament, we don't make any money for you playing. Of course, we'd love to have you play, but where we make the money is the host sponsors and the mulligans and things of that nature, and also if you would like to donate, you know, any funds and child sponsor. So that's where we make our money. Our goal is to make $10,000. Up until this year, we have given them over $100,000 from this little bitty church. So you guys should be so proud of yourselves. It's just really great. Okay, ladies' luncheon, June 23rd. Ellen Pesavento. Ellen, where are you? Miss Lady? Yeah. And Ellen's going to be giving her story. Again, if you're new in the congregation, this is another thing we do on a monthly basis. We have someone from the congregation, and you go, oh, well, I don't want to do that. But we have ladies who tell us their story of their life history. And their life, it doesn't have to be, you know, well, you know, I've been married 6 times, and I've, you know, I had this. No, we're not interested in that at all. All we're interested in is who you are, where you've come from, where's your walk with Christ, and where you are today. And I'm telling you, they're amazing stories, absolutely amazing. I mean, you look at all of us and you think, oh, you know, I don't know. But, boy, everyone has had a great, great story. Men's ministry, Ron Estes canceled due his traveling, and so it'll be July 12th. So for the ladies' luncheon, make sure you sign up because it's getting filled up pretty good. Dinner with friends, June 22nd. So sign up for that one, too. And also, another really biggie, which is on the back side of your prayer, is Debbie Milligan's concert. That is really great. Those of you who've been here a couple of years ago know it is just an absolutely fabulous thing. Debbie Milligan does prayer ministry, and she prison ministry, and she talks about her life where she was. Debbie was, you know, a very interesting young lady, and I'm not going to say anything. I'll let her do all of it. We've known Debbie Milligan for many, many, many years. They've been friends of ours for many years. In fact, it's really funny. When we had our mountain home, we would always let people who wanted to do retreats, women's ministry, men's ministry, kids' ministry, would go up to the mountain house, and they would use it. It would be for free to all of these different groups because we had 5 bedrooms that could sleep, like maybe, what, 25, 30 people. I mean, it was every couch converted to a bed. Every bedroom had queen beds or double beds, and I mean it was just really great. And then it's just the two of us, and it's like, oh, why do we have this big house? But anyway, it was great for that. So anyway, Debbie wanted to use it for a ministry, and so she called me and she says, can we use your mountain house? And I said, yeah. And she said, well, this guy's going to come by and he's going to pick up the key. And Debbie was single. This really good looking guy comes in. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, he's a motorcycle guy too, but he's just really a fair. The minute he turned around and walked away, I called her. I said, Debbie, I have somebody I want you to meet. I said, this is really cool. Who is this guy that you came to, you know, get do the key? She says, he's my boyfriend. It's like, okay. Oh, he was wonderful. Absolutely great. So there's two prayer pillows out there. One is for Betty Latham, whose husband passed away not too long ago. And the other one is for Greg Seagrass, which is Kay's brother-in-law, who's ill. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to say something. The congregation did a prayer pillow for my husband, Carl, who's, most of you know, undergoing chemo for cancer, and he's not doing real well right now. But I want you to know that prayer pillow has meant so much to him. He said to think that everybody that tied a knot said a prayer for just me. It has meant so much. Last night, he wasn't feeling well at all. He sleeps with that prayer pillow by him. Last night, he reached over and took that prayer pillow and touched it to him. So keep doing those prayer pillows. Keep saying a prayer from your heart for these people, because it does mean the world to them.
Oh, it does. It really does. Yeah, so the two prayer pillows are out here. So after church, if you want to go out and tie a knot and say a prayer, that would be really great. We really appreciate it. I forgot to mention, how many fathers got breakfast in bed this morning? Okay, well, Bruce didn't either. But your daughter made breakfast for you.
I brought her breakfast.
There's something wrong with this picture here. I don't know. Okay. Okay, would all the dads please stand? Yay. Yay, dads. Okay, thank you very much. Yay. Good job. Okay, sit. Okay, now, I have these marked because I never can remember. Okay, now for the oldest dad between ages of 80 and 95, stand. 80 to 95. All right. Okay. Oh, my gosh. Oh. Okay, I think I know who's going to win this. Okay, how old are you, Don?
79.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Waller, how old are you?
91,
that's what I thought. And how about Tom?
81.
How about you?
I'll be 84 next month.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hope I look as good as you do.
Now, the youngest dad, between 45 and 60,
yeah, forget about it. Oh, well, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, that's right. How long are you going to be
63.
54. 45.
How old?
45.
Okay. I'm thinking of a number between 1 and 5.
Well, what month?
You give it to me every year.
Okay. I'm thinking of a number from 1 to 5. And then
play the game. That's right.
Okay, number of children. How many have 10 kids? And you can, Pat, you can stand for your husband. Okay, because he's not here. That's okay. Who has 9 kids? Who has 8 kids? Really? I thought you had 8 kids. 7 kids. Okay, somebody. 6. 5. No. You got any? No one's got 5 kids?
Does quality count?
Okay, 4 kids? Blended families. If you have blended families, that's okay. We have 5, but that's all right. Okay, Pat has 4.
How many do you have?
4.
You do it. Give it to your daughter. Give it to your daughter. She'll do it.
Who has 4 again?
Okay. See? I took me out of the loop. Okay, the number of... Yes, sir.
Does this count? I had 2 children, but then my son got married, and now have 12 children.
Those are grandkids.
Those are grandkids. 6 plus 2 is 8 kids, but that was of last Sunday.
Well, since I bought these on Saturday. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Number of grandchildren. How many have 10 grandkids? Okay, how many have 11 grandkids? How many have 12 grandkids? Wow. How many have 13 grandkids? Okay, 12. Okay, it's here, Candace, it's up to you again. There's two.
There's two.
There's
12.
Oh, okay. I'd like to get my exercise.
Okay. There. Okay, number of grandkids. Okay, who has 10 grandkids? Great-grandkids. I'm sorry, excuse me. Great-grandkids. You, oh, Doris Moore, and how many grandkids, great-grandkids?
10.
How many do you have, Doris?
She wins.
Yeah. Okay, you win. Here.
Doris, raise your hand. Raise your hand, Doris.
Okay. Anybody who don't know how many great grandkids they have wins. Doris, raise your hand.
Okay, fathers. Remember when mothers sang? Well, it's our turn. So we're going to sing God of Our Father. We're going to sing I Am a Man. You sing what you want to.
Precious Father, for this glorious Father's Day. It is your commandment that we should honor our fathers. Hear the prayers we offer you for them. Grant them many years on earth and keep them in health of mind and body. Bless their word and all they do. Give them back 100-fold whatever they have done for us. Inspire them with your love and help them to fulfill your holy law. One day may we be their comfort and support, so that having enjoyed their affection on earth, we may have the joy of being with them forever in your home in heaven. through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Acts 2, verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3, verses 11 through 18. We speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God.
It's time once again for us to give a little bit back to God of what he has given to us with our tithes and our offerings. And we'll give you a chance to stand as we sing the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all bloody heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son,
we thank you, O Lord, for the opportunity to support your church here on earth. We thank you for your love and for your compassion for all of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fathers, remember back to the time you first found out that you were going to be a father. The excitement, the joy. Then reality sent in. How will I support this child? Will this child grow up to be proud of me? I need to live a better life than I have been. And then we realized the answer to all of our questions was and is, I'll walk with God. With God from this day on, his helping hand I lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. Lord, be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim. There is no fear when I'm near to him. I lean on him forever, and he'll forsake me never. that fail me as long as my faith is strong. Whatever road I may walk along, I'll walk with God. I'll take his hand. I'll talk with God. He'll understand. I'll pray to him each day, to him, and he'll hear the words that I say.
Okay, Darrell, you did it again. What a great song. Wow. Well, on this Father's Day, we're going to present a gift to all. It's going to be like a party, just like a Father's Day party. But being a man, being functioning like a man, taking responsibility are all prerequisites for being a good father, or in most of our cases, good grandfathers or great-grandfathers. You know, you won't be a good man until you are a godly man. And sometimes that's a difficult task, and many of us have gone through challenges throughout our whole life trying to be the best you can be. And being a man is a dying art today, isn't it? The TV sitcoms use men as the butt of jokes all the time, worthless, clueless, and just a butt of all these jokes. But I think the problem is a language barrier. Thank God we do have a few good men here. Our congregation has 40% of our population is men, which is much higher than the national average of about 30 to 35. And we have an older population, which means there are less men in that population, aren't there? The women tend to outlive us. Well, I think it would be good on this day if women really understood what men say and what they mean. You know how it is when women say, "I'm fine," that doesn't mean that she's fine. Or she says, "It's all good." No, it's not all good, is it? No, she doesn't mean that. But men say this. When a man said, "It would take too long to explain," which it means that I don't have a clue. When he says, "Honey, why don't you take a break from doing all that work?" it means the vacuum is too loud. I can't hear the game. And a man says, that's really interesting, dear. It means, are you still talking? When a guy says, it's a guy thing, it means there's no chance of me explaining about it at all. When a guy says, "Can I help with dinner?" he means, is it ready yet? And he says, honey, sure, honey, yes, dear, means he doesn't have a clue. He hasn't heard a word. It's a conditioned response. When a man says, "Do you know how bad my memory is?" he can remember the theme song to Hogan's Heroes, the phone number of the first girl he ever kissed, and the VIN numbers for all the vehicles he ever owned. But yes, oh yes, I forgot your birthday. When a guy says, "I can't find it," it means it didn't fall into my hand in the kitchen when I was looking for the spatula. When a man says, "I heard you," it means he doesn't have a foggiest idea what you said, but he's hoping that you'll spend the next 3 days not being angry with him because he's trying to fake it. When a man says, "You look terrific," it means, please don't put on another outfit because I'm hungry. When a man says, "I'm not lost, I know exactly where I am," And he's hoping that the next traffic light will be something he recognizes. When a man says, "That's not what I meant," he says, "If it can be interpreted two ways, take it the good way, not the bad way." Well, that's the fun of Father's Day, and we're going to continue with a gift for Father's Day, which has a gift for everyone here. Last Sunday, we talked about Pentecost, the first day of the church, and Simon Peter stood up before the crowd of Jews around him and proclaimed a message that changed the lives of 15,000 people on that day. It's a message that reverberates down to us today, and it's God's precious plan of salvation. And it can change the life of everybody that hears it. It's a message that has not changed throughout the centuries, not throughout the universe, nor has lost its power. It brings hope to the hopeless, life to those who are dead in sin. And I'd like to share this message with you once again, God's precious plan of salvation. It's a precious plan. Maybe you've heard it and refused it then, and maybe you're ready to receive it today. Maybe you've never heard it. Maybe you're like the guy who, his wife says to him, "It's time to clean the garage." It goes in one ear and out the other. That's maybe you've heard the message of salvation, and it's gone in one ear and out the other. God's precious plan of salvation. Well, you know what? It's not anybody's plan, but it's God's plan. It's His plan. It's as old as God is, as God Himself, and it's as fresh as today. It is so perfect for us today. It's this plan that I want to share with you. Let's look at it. Look at the scope of God's plan, this precious plan of salvation. You know, we have all kinds of clubs, exclusive clubs, private clubs. People think sometimes that Heritage Eagle Bend is a private club. That's why they don't come up here for dinner, because we have a gate, but it's really open. It's like the heavenly gates. They open for everybody, don't they? God made this perfectly inclusive, this design of salvation. Now, who will this work for? Who does salvation work for us? You see, in God's economy, anybody can be saved. Many accuse Christianity of being selective and very restrictive, but it's not. It's not. God loves and includes everyone. He saved the dying thief on the cross, the Samaritan woman at the well, a ruthless, ungodly tax collector, some innocent little children he saved, a brutal Roman centurion, a self-righteous Pharisee by the name of Saul who persecuted Christians, who then became St. Paul, a wealthy merchant, and he will save all of us, you too. The truth of the matter is that whosoever can be saved includes everyone, even you. Not even you, but especially you. Have you availed yourself of the precious plan of salvation that's open to you? Because of its scope, everybody's underneath this canopy of forgiveness. The scope of God's plan is just all-inclusive. It's very simple, but it's very powerful. He said, all you have to do is call upon the name of the Lord. And it's one thing that I can be saved to understand exactly how to do it. He said, it's simply about calling upon the name of the Lord. But you have to realize certain things when you call upon the name of the Lord. They're very important things, the call of faith. Number one, we must know that we're sinners. Number two, we must know that there's a price for sin. Number three, they must know that Jesus paid that price for them. And you must understand the truth of the gospel, that it's just saying that you believe in Christ is not enough. You've got to move and do something with your life. They must be willing to ask the Lord to save their souls. Jesus said that it's simple. Just have belief in Him. Just lay your life down and say, "I am yours." It's by grace and grace alone. Nothing that you can do. You can't earn it. You can't build up points. You can't be like have airline miles. Nothing like that. That doesn't count. It's just believing in Christ as your Savior. All you have to do to be saved is belief. And if you don't want salvation, what do you have to do? You do nothing. You do nothing if you don't want salvation. And which one will it be for you? Well, the substance of God's plan, what are we saved from? We are saved from eternal damnation. We're saved from from the unknown. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? The uncertainty of our life tomorrow and what's going to happen. To save, to the word save means to rescue from harm and danger, to keep safe and sound, to deliver, to save. What are some of the benefits? It's salvation. Is deliverance from the wrath of God. We don't want to have our Heavenly Father be angry with us. It was bad enough when we were kids to have our earthly Father angry with us. And our Heavenly Father, we don't want Him to be angry with us. Salvation brings a forgiveness of sins. We can't forgive our own sins, but only God can do that. Our sins were given to Christ on that cross, and He bore them for us, just for us, just for all of us. Even the little guy here, Quinn. And everybody here. Hi, Quinn. Salvation brings a certain promise of heaven. A wonderful place. Mansions. No more suffering. No more pain. No more toil. No more stress. No more problems. No more conflicts. It brings a changed life. We become children and heirs of God. What a great thing to be, a child and an heir of God. We become servants of God. We become salt and light in the world. Because when we become a part of God's kingdom, not only do we become that within ourselves, but that helps us to outreach to others. And that's what we're supposed to do. Remember, God, Jesus says to those who He forgave, He said, go and sin no more. That means go and try to live a life that's even better than before. That's the important thing. The stimulus of God's plan. What brought this wonderful plan of salvation? Because of a man named Jesus, Christ went to an old rugged cross and died between heaven and earth just for us. He still lives to save us this morning. The crux of the gospel is that Christ died on the sins on the cross for us because we couldn't do it ourselves. God gave the Israelites 600 and some odd rules to follow, laws. They couldn't keep it. They tried and tried and tried. Even when Moses went away, well, they had to go and play, didn't they? When Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, they built an idol made of gold and worshiped that. And they forgot God. How quickly they forgot God. How quickly. You can believe anything you wish this morning, but if you want to be saved, you can't earn it, you can't work for it, you can't do good for it. The power of the cross is what it's all about. You do good because you are saved and not the other way around. You don't do good to be saved. You do good because you are saved. Well, if you're tired of sin, if you're tired of fighting against the Lord, if you're tired of worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow, it is such a relief to know that if I die this moment, which I could, there'll be joy in heaven and Betty will be happy. Well, you know, in so many words, she'll be happy because she knows that I'm not going. She knows where I'm going. Are you saved? Are you sure you want to be saved? Are you sure that you are saved? There's nothing more important than the condition of your soul. Jesus said in Mark 8, chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" This precious plan of salvation remind our human hearts of what He has done for us. Even if you have Jesus in your heart now, there's nothing wrong with keeping on reminding ourselves of where we are and what we've done and who we are and where we are in the light of God's vision. In your bulletin on page 3, I have a prayer that I would like you to read together with us. You don't have to do it out loud. I'll read it. You follow along with it. If that's something that you really believe is in your heart, that you want to change your life or continue your life, because we tend to backslide, don't we? We tend to have to go get in shape again spiritually. We have to get in shape again spiritually, and we could do that by praying this prayer together, and I will pray it with you. Let us pray. Dear God in heaven, I come to You in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to You that I am a sinner, and I am sorry for my sins and the life I have lived. I need Your forgiveness. I believe that Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed His precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins, and I am now willing to turn from my sin. Right now, I confess Jesus as my Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior, and according to his word, right now, I am saved. Therefore, Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not just to myself. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me eternal life. Amen. And now let's confess our faith, that faith we just talked about in the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And now in preparation for us to take communion, I would like you to join me in singing As the Deer.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, met in the upper room with his disciples. They sat down for the Passover meal, and Jesus took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you." In the same manner, after they had finished eating, he took the cup and he blessed it and said, "This cup is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is
next Sunday is going to be a busy one here in our church. And there is one thing to remind you or to tell you. We are going to be in the Antera room for Debbie Milligan's service next week. So we'll see you in there, okay? Yes. Oh, yes. There will be a special offering just for her ministry, too. So know that before you come, okay? Yeah, besides, we want you to give for our church, right? Okay, so dig deep, all righty. And now as we get ready to go and celebrate this Father's Day, let's sing Now I Belong to Jesus.
Second row, Quinn. Hello. Answers to you all your prayers. He is doing just great. What a great fun kid he is. And say hello to Quinn after the service. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. I can still do that. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.